Hello, Church. It's Mother's Day, and I wanted to wish a very happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. Whether you be birth mums, adopted mums, foster mums, step mums, grandmas, nannies, aunties, or any other woman who plays a significant role in the life of a child. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. I'm so glad you're able to join us today, even though we can't be physically together yet. Today we celebrate you. As we do so, would you turn to Isaiah 66:13 with me, and we'll read our verse for today together. So Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." So today, as we've said, it is Mother's Day, a special time when we reflect on motherhood. And we're going to start with a little humour. The actor Reese Witherspoon pointed out in an interview, "I always say, if you aren't yelling at your kids, you're not spending enough time with them." And someone else writes, "Silence is golden, unless you have children. Then silence is suspicious." And finally, my favourite, the comedian Phyllis Diller once said, "I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them." I really do like that one in particular. Look out, Becky, I'm on my way round. I hope that this is the sort of humour that all of you ladies can relate to, because these little snippets speak something about what it means to be a mum. And you know, God knows motherhood. It's important to keep that in mind. God knows motherhood, not just in an intellectual sense, but in a deeper sense as part of his own image. You may remember that in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." And we're all made in God's image. The woman was not an afterthought or a later idea. Women bear the image of God just as much as any man does. Now, of course, there are differences between men and women, but we are all created in God's image. In Scripture, God overwhelmingly speaks about himself in the masculine. But there are other times where he identifies with the feminine too. We see this most clearly when God wants to communicate to us some facet of his own character, where he wants to reveal something about who he is to us. You see, the truth is that God is so wholly other that we lack both the words and the concept to really try and describe him as he really is. When he chooses to reveal something to himself about us is when we find that he uses these images. And he does this in ways that we can understand. He tells us about his nature by identifying with things that we can grasp, things that we can understand. For instance, if we look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 to 26, we find that in these verses, God poses a question. In fact, he says it twice. "To whom will you compare me?" Let's read some of this passage of Scripture together. Isaiah 40, verses 12 to 14 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counsellor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? And verse 18 continues, "With whom then would you compare God? To what image will you liken him?" And verses 21 to 26 go on with this description. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal one?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Let those words sink in for a moment. I don't know about you, but I find that this description of who our God is blows me away. Isn't this just an incredible description of our majestic, almighty God? Our God who is solitary in his majesty, unique in his excellency, unmatched in his perfection. These verses tell us about God's character, about his attributes, about who he really is, and all done in ways that we can understand. Now, many of the things in Scripture which refer to God are similes. A simile compares two things, using words such as like or as. You see, because God is so entirely other, as we said before, the human mind really can't comprehend him as he is. So God, in order to communicate with us, uses language we understand. And here are a couple of examples. Isaiah 30, verse 33, describes his wrath. "The breath of the Lord, like a stream of burning sulfur, sets it ablaze." This picture of burning sulfur helps us to understand this facet of God's character. It gives us a picture that we can understand. Another example of this is Isaiah 40, verse 11, describing God's gentle care. "He tends his flock as a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms." Or, describing his love, Isaiah 62, verse 5 says this: "As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." You know, in using these similes, these comparisons, we're able to go from the unknown to the known. We're able to get a better understanding about more of what God is truly like. Which brings us nicely back to the simile that I was wanting to share with you for this special day, for Mother's Day. Let's read Isaiah 66, verse 13 again. "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted, O Jerusalem." Now, a little bit of background about this verse. God has issued a stern judgment on Israel for their idolatry and because their hypocritical sacrifices were an abomination to him. For these things show that their hearts had wandered far from God. However, God wanted to also communicate with them that after these events had come to pass, he would still comfort them and Jerusalem would be restored. So, what would be the most poignant and the most powerful way to communicate this with his people, this comfort? Well, by identifying with something everyone could readily identify with, a mother's comfort. "As a mother comforts, I will comfort you." God knows motherhood and chooses to compare himself to a mother. And in this, aren't we immediately drawn to reflect upon the comfort that our own mother showed us? And while I know that not every one of us have had a good role model as a mother, I think we can all understand this sort of language. What does it mean to comfort? It means to soothe, to reassure, to bring relief, to strengthen or to give hope. You see, comfort is a word describing relief. It means that we're able to see something happening in the bad stuff. It's a word that helps bring relief in situations of distress, fear, tension, pain, uncertainty, or even hopelessness. As a child, when we grazed our knees in a fall, it was Mum who was there to soothe and wipe away our tears. Or as a teen, when we had a breakup with that girlfriend or boyfriend, and it seemed like this must be the end of the world, it was Mum who hugged us and reassured us that it wasn't really the end of the world. And you know what? Later on, it turned out she was right. Or what daughter didn't find their mum's comfort during pregnancy and delivery so, well, comforting? You know, I saw a cartoon in the newspaper that had three frames. The first frame showed a little boy in tears running to find his mother. The second frame shows the same boy finding his dad instead. And as he sees him, he wipes his tears away very quickly and he says, "Oh, hi, Dad." Then in the third and final frame of the cartoon, with Dad gone, we see the same son in tears once more, continuing in his search to find Mum. It's true, isn't it? There's no one else like Mum. No one else's kisses can dispel those tears more quickly. No one else's smile and hug can take away the sting of a problem better. No one else can put on that plaster like she can. No one else can give comfort like Mum can. The bond we have with our mothers is special for life. Isn't that why when we see something like the Olympics on the television and we see that the camera zooms in to some of those athletes perhaps sitting waiting for their event to take place, and as it zooms in you often see one or more of them waving at the camera and saying, "Hi Mum!" Isn't that true? That connectedness to Mum from birth is sustained throughout life. And that's the way God designed it to be. Very truly, God knows motherhood. And that connectedness reflects the bond he has with his children, with us. Again, God uses the best example known to express his deep comfort and connectedness with us when we read Isaiah 49, verses 13 to 16. "Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. The Lord reassures Israel that even though times are hard, he has not forgotten them. He says the same to us today. Times are especially, exceptionally challenging for all of us during this pandemic. Especially for mums, some of whom have the added responsibility of things like homeschooling. I bet you're glad the kids are back at school now. And then there's entertaining and managing kids all day, while many of these same mums still working, even trying to work from home while having all of these additional responsibilities. Honestly, I really don't know how many of you mums have done what you've done. You're amazing. But just as God's word to the Israelites reassured them, it reassures us as well. And what was the best example from God to demonstrate his faithfulness? A mother. To the original audience, it was unthinkable that a mother would neglect or forget her child. Such a thought is just totally unacceptable. Such a picture is the opposite of motherhood. Yet God says that even if that might be possible, even though that might be possible, it would be totally impossible for him to forget one of his own. For as great as a mother's love for her child is, and this is why God uses it as the best example of his love, God's love is even greater than a mother's. Indeed, he tells us that he has his children engraved on the palms of his hands. And this word engraved carries with it the meaning of being painted, or we could even say tattooed, on his hands. It says that our names are there, with him, forever. They're not going anywhere, and neither is he. God knows motherhood. And since God does not hesitate to reference a mother's love as a visible, tangible example of his love, mothers, you should recognize both the blessings and the challenge that is yours. It's a blessing in that in your own comforting love, your child can glimpse the face of God. So the next time your child asks you, what is God like? You can, with the confidence of Scripture, say, he's like your mum, who comforts you, only more so. What an honoured role motherhood is. But while this is true, motherhood is also a challenge. Indeed, these challenges go on day by day. When you're changing nappies, when you're mopping up spills, refereeing fights, arguing with a reluctant child, or when you finally realise that you're not a trained teacher and can't actually teach all of these lessons that the teachers have sent home from school. Motherhood really is a challenge. I love the account of the young mum pushing her trolley around Tesco. I know I've shared it with you before, but I love it. This mum is pushing her trolley around and her daughter is sitting in the little seat and she's just wailing, constantly screaming and shouting, demanding this, demanding that, demanding the other. And her mum could be heard saying beautiful words of comfort. Things like, now come on, calm down, Sarah. And it'll be all right, Sarah. Or, it's almost time to go home now, Sarah. Then, take a deep breath, Sarah. Well, one of the checkout staff heard all of this and said to her, you are an amazing mum. So patient, so loving, so calm with little Sarah. And the mum looked at this checkout member of staff and said, oh no, I'm sorry, you've got it wrong. I'm Sarah. I was talking to myself. Yes, motherhood has its challenging times. As young children, most of us found that our mother's arms were a haven of comfort in which we felt love, protection, and encouragement. God uses that experience to communicate his comforting love to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, we read, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. How does God comfort us? With his love, protection, and encouragement. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 tells us what God says about his love. It says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And Psalm 5 verse 11 talks of his protection. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Or as Jesus says in John chapter 10 verses 27 to 28, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And Jesus encourages us in this, as we read about in John 14, verses 1 to 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Do not let your heart be troubled. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Your peace, Lord. Your love. Your comfort. Were there ever more comforting words than these? Our God is the God of all comfort, shown to us through Jesus. When we, in fear or sadness, turmoil or uncertainty, pain or hurt, flee to God's loving arms, we find comfort. The comfort of his presence and the comfort of his word. Again, isn't the picture Jesus gives us in Luke 13:34 so like this when speaking of Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Like a mother hen, Christ longed to gather, embrace and protect his children then. And he continues to desire to do the same now. Sadly, that verse ends in tragedy with the word, and you were not willing. Don't let that be your story. You know, after a lifetime of providing comfort and love, of self-sacrifice, surrendering their dreams so her children could fulfill theirs, too many mothers are then neglected and dismissed, almost forgotten. Too often the life that our mothers have poured out on us goes underappreciated, undervalued, and sometimes even forgotten. God knows this aspect of motherhood as well. Regarding God, we know that this was Israel's recurring sin. They forever turned their back on him. In Jeremiah 2, verses 31 to 32, we read this. You of this generation, consider the word of the Lord. Have I been a desert to Israel, or a land of great darkness? Why do my people say, we are free to roam, we will come to you no more? Does a young woman forget her jewellery, a bride her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. Israel took God and all his blessings for granted. They forgot him. With regard to our mums, I just want to say this. Think about your mum today. Remember her if she's gone. As we come to an end now, I have a story for you. Some years ago now, a man stopped his car outside Cook's the Florist's on the High Street here in Spelport. It's not there anymore, but most of you will still remember it. He'd stopped with his sister, as they always did, to order some flowers to be sent to their mum for Mother's Day, because she lived way away in Manchester. As they got out of the car, they noticed a young girl sitting against the wall, sobbing. The man asked her what was wrong, and she replied, "I wanted to buy a red rose for my mother, but I only have a pound, and they cost £2 each." The man smiled at his sister, who simply nodded, and then he said to the girl, "Come on in with us. We'll buy you a rose." So they bought the little girl her rose and ordered their own mother's flowers. As they were leaving, the man said to the little girl, "Would you like a ride home with me and my sister?" She said, "Oh yes, please. Could you take me to my mother?" Well, she gave them the directions, and they turned down Church Drive up to St. Michael's. And then they parked beside the graveyard. Here she got out of the car and ran to the place where there was a freshly dug grave. And she placed this rose on this grave, and then she sat down quietly beside it. Our man and his sister turned back towards their car, a tear in both of their eyes. As they left the graveyard and turned the car around, neither of them said a word. But they knew what needed to be done. So back to the flower shop they went, cancelled the flowers they'd ordered, picked out a nice bouquet, and then they drove all the way to Mum's house. Don't put off honouring your mum. Let her know often in your words and your deeds how much you love and appreciate her. I wish I could do so today. God knows motherhood. And you mothers, you grandmothers and all you other ladies, you should all feel very special and blessed in that your nurturing, comforting love is the example that God uses to apply to himself in order to tell us about his comforting love for his children. You know, mother is the most noble of titles. Proverbs 31 draws to an end with these words from verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honour her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Honour. Thank you, Mum. Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies. And thank you, God, that your love, your comfort, is vastly more than even our mothers. And as we come to an end now this morning, as we bring our service to a close, let us pray. Lord, thank you for all our mothers, for the new ones who endure sleepless nights with infants in arms, for the busy ones who juggle the pressures of home and family life, for the steadfast ones who nurture and care for special or vulnerable children, for the patient ones who always seek to forgive and engage with their toddlers, for the persistent ones who cleverly find new ways to connect with their teenagers, for the mother aunts who step in to cradle and care for nieces and nephews who may not even be blood family, for all grandmas and nanas who love and support their precious grandchildren and great-grandchildren, for the foster mums and the adoptive mums that are called to gather and cover the fragile ones. For the weekday mums who care for children who go to dance at weekends. For the stepmums who look after others' children as their own. Thank you, Lord, for all of our beautiful mothers. Help us to support them and keep them in our prayers. Bless them right now, Lord, on this, their special day. Amen.